Flaming Network, an online network aimed at setting men on fire through the media sphere.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated a moment. Hallelujah. What a great moment we've been having since this meeting began. And I believe every section will be a build up until our joy is full. I want to thank Pastor Peter Daniel. Thank you for serving the Lord, for obeying the Lord. This is the fruit of your obedience. You can only do much better and much better. Can you celebrate this man? Praise God. All right. I'd like you to settle down a bit, because we are entering a season in this meeting that I consider as a season of harvest and great manifestations. In other words, as I speak with you very briefly, some strange things will begin to happen. Now, this is what is going to happen. You will not sit where you are. When God began to move in the camp and some things happened to you, you will find your way to this altar. Are you hearing me? We're having a meeting like this in Ife, OAU, many years ago. And I made the announcement I made, because that's what God said I should say, that strange things will happen. And whenever it happens, walk out to the altar. We're all afraid at the point of teaching. When three young men from three different locations in the crowd walk out to the altar, drenched like somebody pour water on them. And everywhere they pass, people get slain in the Holy Ghost. It was a new dimension of God. I have not come to sermonize you. I have come to make the scripture alive. Are you ready for that? So what you've been reading before, you are going to start experiencing it. Are you ready for this journey? So get your heart ready. Get yourself ready. God will do very strange things. Why? Answer to a generation is being battered here today. So are you ready? Okay, I've allowed you to sit a bit because you've been praying since. You've been calling on God, and that's very necessary. This has been a very strong meeting. And thank God for your Pastor Daniel's last session. Fantastic. Great flames. And the Lord will strengthen you more by the grace of God. Who needs help from God here? Don't stand yet, just sit. But I'm asking you a few questions. If you need help from God, can I see your hand? Okay. Will you like to pray for help? Okay, so sit down. Put down your hands and hear my thoughts. Everyone that counts in the scriptures, they counted because God helped them. All the great men we talk about today, they counted, those who are late, and some are still counting because God helped them. Anybody agree with that? Some of them in scriptures, like Moses, He was helped by the rod in his hand. God said to him, what is that in your hand? He says, a rod. By that rod, he rattled Egypt, messed up Pharaoh, and set a generation free. Are you following my thoughts? All true scriptures, when God wants to help a man, he either sent an angel to help or sent the Holy Spirit to help. For example, for Zechariah, an angel walked up to him and said, today your prayers are answered. And that was a turnaround for Zechariah. God sent hailstone to help Joshua. When the enemy were so much for him, God sent a hailstone and rattled all his enemies, and by that hailstone, more died than the sword of Joshua. Now, God has used the sun. God has used the moon. God has used fire in scriptures. God has used waters. Parted Jordan several times just to help men. I'd like you to pray one prayer. That God should use all that makes him God to help you. Is that a prayer you would like to pray? Let him use the angels. Let him use the Holy Spirit. Let him use his name. Let him use his blood. Let him use anything that interprets God as God. Let God use it to help you. Is that a prayer you would like to pray? Stand on your feet now. Lift up your hands to heaven. Repeat after me. And when I ask you to pray, then pray. Lift up your hand and say, Father, we have seen lives you have helped before. We have read about them. Now is our time and season. Arise, O Lord. Use everything that makes you God to help my life now in the name of Jesus. Can you pray to the God of heaven? Lord, arise. Everything that interprets you as God, use it to help me. Use it. Arise for my help. Arise for my help. Use your name. Use your blood. Use the Holy Spirit. Whatsoever interpret you as God, Lord, use it to help me. I am that man, that woman, in dire need of your help. Arise for my help. Let God hear you. Use everything that makes you God to help my life. Use everything that makes you God to help my life now. In Jesus' name we pray. Just one more prayer. I will preach briefly. I will begin to pray again. And I'd like you to face just one person. And I'd like you to pray for that one person. Don't hold more than one person. You see, when God helps you, anything you do is an acceptable style. Did you hear me? When God helps you, anywhere you go, all men wants to just come around you. When God helps you, no nation will reject you. It's not possible. So I'd like you to invest into your neighbor that God has brought you for this meeting, that God will grant you very strange help. Listen, that our help that is called strange, because there is none like it. They will check all your lineage. Nobody has found that kind of help. They will check among all your contemporary. Nobody has found that kind of help. Can you hold one person next to you and say, Father, strangely help this life. In the name of Jesus. Can you pray to the God of heaven? Let God hear you. Strangely, in a strange manner, in a strange way, in a way nobody can explain, in a way my contemporaries cannot explain, in a way nobody in my father's house can explain. Strangely help me. Strangely help me. Lakaboshandayas. Lereye brosakataya. Strangely help me, Lord. Strangely help me. Let there be strange healings, strange deliverances, strange intervention, strange supernatural liftings. Let it begin now. Parabashandarabayas. Riagabosto friketai. Lebo Shandarayas. Likura Basandayas. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we declare, let there be strange help. As I teach, let there be strange healings, strange deliverances, strange intervention. In a way no man can say it is my strength. Arise for every life here and let this section be closed with great joy. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. All right. Now hear what I'm saying to you, because the door is opened. Anything good can happen to you now. Just listen to me. Anything good can happen to you now. So, wherever you are, what I'm teaching is not related to healings and miracles, but there will be healings and miracles happening. Is that okay? So, anything. So, I'd like you to examine yourself as I'm teaching. And once you know God has done something, maybe we should bring order here. You just clap where you are instead of coming out. Is that okay? Is that okay? So that we don't litter this altar and distract our teaching, because I will keep teaching. Is that all right? But anything, healings, miracles, intervention, anything good will happen. Is that okay? Not can happen. Did you get the English? Will happen. So it's a function of either you are receiving your portion or not. Is that okay? And once it happens, just clap where you are. We will all be shaking our head and we'll continue our teaching. Is that okay? Is that okay? Good. 2 Corinthians. I will read together. If you can turn your Bible there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 6. I would like you to read, if you have your scripture on, to read as loud as you can. I will read verse 4 alone. We all read 5 and 6 together. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let me read. I'm reading New Living Translation to you. The same verses, and then we'll take off. We use God's mighty weapons, not merely worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. New Living Translation. I'm hearing some clap already. More is still coming. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. Verse 5. For these weapons will break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With this weapon, we conquer their rebellious ideas and we teach them to obey Christ. Verse 6. And we will punish those who remain disobedient after the rest of you became loyal and obedient. Amen. Few thoughts. Thought number one. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, are not what your eyes can handle or that can be discharged by feelings. When you talk about weapon of war, equipments are required. Our weapons are not physical, are not equipments. That's not our weapon. Our weapons are not physical guns, as it were. Our weapons are spiritual forces that, when deployed, every argument, every resistance bows. I have found out early enough that when God undertakes for you, it sets you argument. Are you hearing me? That God's intervention, the miraculous move of God, nobody argues with it. Irrespective of your religion. So our weapons are not physical weapons, but they are purely spiritual, to confront arguments, to confront imaginations, to confront thoughts. Why? Our greatest battle begins from our mind. Until you win from your mind, you may not be able to win physically. Your mind is the seat of decision. The enemy engages your mind. You can hear all the powerful messages you've been hearing since, and your mind tells you, this is not going to work for me. Anybody hearing me here? We were in the Netherlands preaching the gospel, and a Dutch woman in our meeting walked up and said, "Sir, you preach very well. I love your preaching, but I don't believe you. This is life. You just finished preaching, sweating." The woman said, "I don't believe you. And I don't know what else to believe. And I'm not sure I believe also in God. I was just wondering what I'm doing in this meeting." What? Day three of preaching each night, and there were healings and miracles. He said, "I heard them sharing testimonies of how God healed their pains." He said, "I have more than pains. And God has not touched it." I said, "Well, since I can't, you don't believe me, it's difficult now to even pray for you." I said, "What's the matter?" "She's lost one sight. The other eyes she's using to see can only see to a few distance. Number two, she has a heart failure. Her heart works at 30% and can fail at short notice. The worst of her crisis is that she had a blood disease." This is not Africa. I'm talking there in Europe. "She has a blood disease that required them to drain all her blood at certain times of the month. They would drain her blood completely and put fresh blood to keep her alive. So she's well known in the hospital. At short notice, something will happen. Ambulance will pick her and she will go. So somebody gave her hope and she came for the meeting. But somehow her mind," I'm talking about conquering from your mind. Are you understanding me here? "Her mind could not receive what was thought." So I said, "Okay, I'll give you two scriptures. Since we've closed for tonight, you go study these two scriptures. If you believe them, call me. I will pray with you in the night." So we closed the meeting that night, and my wife and I were left. We had a deliverance meeting that night. So we're in the deliverance meeting, and that was God's wisdom. She read the scripture that I gave her and overread them until even when she closes her eyes, she sees the scripture I gave her. And then she called us about 2 a.m. But we're in another meeting that night, so we couldn't pick her call. But that was God's wisdom. When the day broke, our heart failed as usual. They called the emergency number and the ambulance came to pick her to the hospital. But something was different this time. They wheeled her into the ambulance. I'm quoting her now. She said, "Those scriptures you gave me stood around me in the wheelchair, in the stretcher, in the ambulance, like an army." He said, "I saw scriptures standing like human being, touching every part of my body as they whisk her to the hospital." When she got to the hospital, they ran the test. Her heart, working at 30%, read 100%. And there was confusion. Big confusion. They said, "No, we need a second opinion." So they brought more senior doctors. They check her story, check everything, ran the test again. The heart was working 100%. While they were discussing and consulting among themselves, what could be the difference? This woman is our regular patient. We have all her details here. Her other blind eyes open. She now could see clearly. They ran to do eye tests. She was given a certificate of what they call 20/20 vision. I don't know the meaning of that, but that was the certificate they gave her. While all the confusion built up in the hospital, they ran her blood test for the disease in her blood. They could not find the disease again. Now listen. Because it is your turn now. Are you hearing me? Today we enter that nation any day like king, because the reference of this strange testimony has gone viral. The woman said, I will follow you everywhere. I will speak before you preach. I say it's not necessary. Because what he did yesterday, he will do today, he will do tomorrow. Your mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because your mind is the seat of so many arguments, so many confusion, and today your faith is dropping back because of the weakness of the mind. Anybody understanding me here? You can receive from God beyond what your mind can accept. That's why the devil major on engaging your mind. So is the battleground. And then he says, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. They are not physical. They are not what you read and find a remedy to it from the Facebook or from the internet. No. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are established facts in your mind. That's the meaning of stronghold. Established facts in your mind that no matter how many scripture anybody quotes, that stronghold just pull it back. For example, if you are trapped with the stronghold of pornography, you will find out that after you hear the word of God speaking against it, you feel very bad. But somehow, all the devil needs to do is to project in your imagination a flip of that sin, and it begins to crumble your decisions. Who knows what I'm talking about here? He just flips it in your mind. He doesn't flip it physically, because you have destroyed all the movies. You have destroyed all the CDs. You've destroyed all the physical references into that lifestyle. But you've not destroyed the one in your mind. Until the one in the mind is conquered, then the freedom is not guaranteed yet. Are you still here? So stronghold. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down of stronghold. And today I've come to speak in the name of the Lord. Every established negative stronghold in your life is coming down today. But this is the battleground. Our faith level drops. Our commitment to take risks for God drops when the mind is captured. For those of us who preach, at times the devil tells you, are you sure God can do that? Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass yourself. Pastors here, you know what I'm talking about? You want to exercise faith? Let that be a miracle. The devil tells you in your mind, don't embarrass yourself. Sir, it is God that must not be embarrassed. Who is yourself that we cannot embarrass you? And until you have that understanding that I can be embarrassed in the defense of the name of the Lord, you will not see the supernatural like a normal life. And as long as the devil engages you and overprice yourself in your mind, you will not see the supernatural. One of the killer of the supernatural in our day-to-day life is the overpricing of the human self. Not wanting to embarrass yourself, not wanting to put yourself into any situation where they say, oh, it's so important for you to dare every stronghold that limits your advancement. Nobody wins by kidding himself alone. I'm not sure you heard me. Nobody wins by wearing army uniform, by carrying a life gun, by wearing every kit and getting yourself really ready. You start winning from your mind. You can wear all that uniform and run away when the enemy shows up. Check with the Ephraimites. The Bible said the children of Ephraim were fully armed and fully prepared for the days of battle. But when the enemy shows up, what happened to the Ephraimites? They ran. So a daring mind is a winning heart. Until you are willing to dare the camps of the enemy. Until you are willing to challenge powers, to challenge authorities, until you are strong enough in your knowledge of God in the inside of your mind. You see, I keep talking about your mind. I'm not talking about something physical. Your mind. You can only receive from God as much as your minds agree to receive. That's the way you break the limit into the supernatural. You cannot punish every act of disobedience. You can't, except your mind receives strength to confront it. And you know the way the devil does? He raises argument in your mind. Very strong argument in your mind. Check yourself, everybody here. I saw 7 people just supernaturally healed now. If you are any of the 7, just clap your hand wherever you are. Just check. I just saw that in my spirit in a flash. 7. Just clap your hand wherever you are if you are any of that 7. Yes. Now, that's the issue. The devil comes to you. He tells you. I've done a lot of traveling across this country. And one day we're coming on this express road coming to Lagos. I want all of you to hear this story. We're coming to Lagos. That's the guy who drove, right? Stand up, let them see you. He was driving. Our staff in Lagos was in the front. My wife and I at the back. We're driving. Afternoon, broad daylight. When we left Ibadan, I'm talking about the issue of your mind. My mind was a bit troubled. I found myself singing hymns that they sang at burial. I said, who is going to die here? We're all making this journey. And then we took off the journey. And then my wife said, what kind of hymns are you singing? I said, I don't know why I'm singing it. So let's pray in the spirit. So we pray in the spirit for a couple of times as we journey on. Broad day afternoon. Suddenly, we ran into armed robbers at close range. Very, just next, like I'm looking at you. Took over the road, the highway, and opened fire immediately. They were shedding the car. The car is a Land Rover. It's not bulletproof. They were shedding the car continually at close range. And I said to them, something came to my mind immediately. Instead of being afraid, I was shouting, Jesus, where are you? I just said, everybody bow down your head. And I told the brother driving, if the car didn't stop, don't stop. Keep going. If the car stopped on its own, it's okay. But if it didn't stop, just keep going. And we bowed down our head and we're shouting Jesus, and the car was moving and they were shelling us. shut the windscreen, shut the side door, every part. The side glass where I was being shelled. And then we kept going because the car didn't stop. And we drove through them. And when we finished that disaster area, the driver said, can we park? I said, don't park. Since the car didn't stop, till we get to our location, we are not stopping. Here is the miracle. When we got to our location, interestingly, we're coming to camp here. So when we got in through the youth center, we park before we proceed to where we're going. We came out to check the car. There was no scratch on the car. No scratch, no windscreen broke, no window crack, no potholes, nothing. No, the bullet never penetrated. And that was the period I was studying the word of God. When he says, he will hide you in the hollow of his hands. My wife got down from the car and was rolling on the bare floor. And said, God, this can only be you. We came so close to the waster, yet between the waster and our life was your presence. What's your presence? Now, do you know we may all be dead in a moment if my heart could not receive the provisions of the word of God? What makes us suffer setback is how much your heart can receive and how much your heart cannot receive. Are you understanding this truth? I want you to go out of this conference as an answer to the need of a generation. If your heart can receive it, strange things will be normalized around you. Normalized around you. Normalized. Check your leg. Check your leg. Somebody's been healed on the leg. Just check your leg now. If you are that person, clap your hands. Just check. Yes, right leg in particular. And start doing what you can do. Start doing it now. Yes. Now, are you hearing what I'm sharing with you? I'm still majoring. I don't mind to close you on the issue of your mind. I don't do long preaching. I will soon close. Are you hearing me? If your mind can receive it, anything strange from God can happen to you. But if your mind cannot, if the argument remains and you listen to the accusation of the enemy, Isaiah 54 verse 17, Isaiah 54 verse 17, talk very clearly about the accusation of the enemy. Isaiah 54 verse 17. Can I have it on the screen? I need to show you something there. 54:17, Isaiah. Okay, let me read to you from here. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I just expect to hear your amen. No, I expect to hear it. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Stop there. Let me show you what I want to show you. The phrase, every tongue. Did you see that? Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. You want to do something. A tongue rises and says, you cannot. You're a bad person. You did this. You're a fornicator. God cannot use you. Yes, he has forgiven you, but he can still use you. Who told you that? That's the lie of the enemy. So every time you want to advance the kingdom, you want to move the kingdom forward by your service life and obedience, some tongues wakes up and they come to look for how to discourage you. The tongue can come and say, but your marriage is not working. So what are you going to do for God?
You get it? It can come to you and say, but look at, you've been struggling all of these days. What are you going to do with your life? Several tongues. It can tell you, you want to heal somebody else, but you are sick in your body. You want to do this, but you are guilty of the same. You are praying that somebody pass exam, but you just fail your own exam. You are praying breakthrough for somebody, but you are broken down already. You are praying somebody to conceive, but you don't have your own baby yet. These are every tongue. Are you willing to stand up for 1 minute to pray this prayer? Every tongue that is rising to argue with you, let the tongues be condemned today. Are you willing to pray? Lift up your hands to heaven and said, every tongue, I can hear you well, rising against me, I condemn you now. In the name of Jesus, can you pray to the God of heaven? Every tongue rising against me is condemned today. Is condemned today. In Jesus' name we pray. Remain standing. I'm not sure you understood what I have just shared with you. There are tongues, including speaking in tongues. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? There are what? Tongues, including what? Speaking in tongues. There are some tongues, because we are in a generation that do not design tongues. Everybody who is doing horror, you say he's speaking in tongues in the Holy Ghost. It's not true. I have tested that. I preached in a conference, and there's a noble woman of great influence in that meeting. And every time she would stand up and prophesy, and my spirit just says, no. So I was checking it. But I don't want to embarrass that or mess up the conference. Is that okay? She says every tongue. So she keeps speaking in tongues. When somebody is preaching, she will stand up and speak in tongues, speak down, rule, and say, "Thus saith the Lord." So when I started preaching, I walk up to her. I said, "Who gave you your tongue?" Openly before everybody. And I said, "Protocols, give this woman a mic. We want to have a discussion." They gave her a mic. I say, I challenge your tongue that this is not Holy Ghost. My host ran to me. Ran to me and whispered, "She's an important woman. You can minister to her after service. This is embarrassing. Everybody knows her here." So I told my host, I said, "I'm sorry. I wouldn't mind not to be back here, but let me defend the faith for once. For once, let me defend the faith." We can't keep managing what is killing the church in the name of not wanting to embarrass somebody. I said, let's defend the faith for once. So my host, of course, I'm sure she was angry. He was angry. I said, "Mother, can you tell everybody that this tongue is not from God?" She said, "How do you mean, sir?" I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm just asking you 2 more times. If you don't respond, I will tell you how I mean by what I will say next." So I asked her the second time. By the time I asked her the third time, she said, "Yes, this tongue is not from God. It's from our coven." She's an ordained minister in that church. For lack of discernment, we have ordained strangers to minister on our pulpits. I said, "This tongue is not of God." She agreed. And she started confessing. The biggest shock we had was that she's so revered in that church that I have to come back and do 1 month teaching to stabilize the church. because nobody could believe her confession. Cases of death in the congregation, she was responsible. And she will prophesy it. Before it happened, she will prophesy it. She said it, and it happened. Everything she sees will happen. And she will prophesy it. Everybody will hear. She will say, God, we want us to do a 7-day fast. Everybody will fast. But what she saw will still happen. They say, Mommy said it all. Every tongue risen against your life is condemned here today. In any way, in any form, whichever way they operate, either by reasoning, either by science, either by spiritual arrangement, every tongue risen against you is condemned today. Is condemned today. Your life will no longer be manipulated. In the name of Jesus. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, there are tongues that says you will not get married. Such tongues are condemned today. There are tongues that say your ministry is shut down. You will not go beyond the level you are. Such tongues are condemned today. There are tongues that limit your career advancement. Such tongues are canceled here today. Would you like to pray one prayer for yourself? Lift up your hands and say, Father, every tongue risen against my life is condemned now. In the name of Jesus. Can you pray to the God of heaven? Can you pray? Every tongue limiting your advancement. Is condemned today. Is condemned today. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Let me give you a few points and I will pray. And please check yourself very clearly. I see so much things happening in my spirit. And so check what God is. So sit down a little and make your note. So, what are the weapons that I need? Don't forget where we started from. Every stronghold, every argument. And all of this has to do with what? Our mind. Did you remember that? Our mind. So what do you do then? Number one, grow in your mind the overcomer's mentality. Grow in your mind an overcoming mentality. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. Grow strong in your mind. Ye are of God's little children and have overcome them. If your source is God, you have overcome them. Do you understand that scripture? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. If your source is God, you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm not sure you understand that scripture. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I tell my stories a lot as I preach, because that is the only reference I have. Are you hearing me? I try not to tell other people's stories because at times I can't validate it. Are you with me? But I tell what I have seen, what I have handled. I declare it confidently because I knew it happened. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Question one, I'm asking you. If a man walked up to you, fully armed, and you understand that scripture, greater is that is in you than he that is in the world, what will be your disposition to this strong, terrible, satanic man? That's something to think about. Because what has happened to our modern Christianity is that when the enemy shows up, you run away and you are shouting the name of Jesus as you run for safety. Are you hearing me? But if the greater one is in you, you can walk up to the situation and challenge it if you are sure the greater one goes with you. Preaching a crusade, John 1:12, I will never forget that scripture all my life. To as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I was preaching. There are powers, but there is one power above them. Beautiful crusade, great crowd, fantastic PA system. People can hear from distance, kilometers away. And the head of the juju man in that land got angry and dressed up for the crusade with all of his men. He alone was carrying Abba's three horns. And they all came in their regalia into the crowd. As soon as they entered the crowd, all pastors hear what I'm about to tell you. The crowd began to beg this juju man. And he said, please have mercy on him. Omode lonche. I say, what is happening here? He says, he's kidding. Have mercy on him. They were begging the man who appeared in satanic attire to spare my life, who spoke for God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the system in the world will come to intimidate you to check if you know you have a greater one. I was on the stage and God said to me, son, what are you doing up there on the stage? The man is coming to you. Go and meet him. So I came down from the stage and I went to meet him. And we met in the center of the crowd. And they were the same audience who had been saying amen when I was preaching. Who were shouting hallelujah. Now started begging the man to have mercy on me. I said to pastors, woe be to the shepherd whose confidence of preaching is the approval of the congregation and not God. Did you hear me? Whose confidence of preaching is the approval of the congregation and not God. Because the day the enemy will show up, that crowd will disappear. The same men saying amen when I was preaching are now begging the juju man to spare my life. As I moved towards him, he make a lot of incantation and beat my chest. Come here, Daniel. And after his incantation, beat my chest 3 times. 1, 2, 3. He says, die! And I was looking at him. So I laugh. He says, is that how they kill people? You make incantation. And after the incantation, beat me 3 times on my chest and said, die! So I laugh. I said, Baba, aren't you afraid? was the question I asked him. Before everybody, aren't you afraid? How dare you beat my chest? Now hear my word. Look inward. I am older than you. Are you hearing me here? Tell the devil, look inward. I am older than you. Why? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Look inward. The man look and think and said, you are right, sir. You are right, sir. And he said it in Yoruba language before everybody. Moti shise she o. I have jive. I have confronted who I should not confront. Then I said, Baba, look at me. You will die tonight except you repent. He said, I will repent. Don't let me die. I will repent. Gave his life to Christ. Brought everything in his shrine. We burnt it in the open crusade. Not in camera. Not hidden somewhere. Openly before everybody. And the man took the microphone from me and said, this is the first time I see a man who understood God. This Christianity that makes you afraid of even burying places, that when you are passing around burial ground, your head is swelling, somebody is wearing white pursuing you, that Christianity won't go far. It's the Christianity of man who carries the greater one. And who is the greater one? The Bible says his hair is white as wool and his voice like the voice of many waters. His eyes like flames of fire. His clothes are glittering. His shoes are made of brass. Such a God, such a personality cannot be following you to a crusade and the devil will wait. Are you hearing me? He can't be following you to your village. They say there are witches in your village. And God is escorting you. He says, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. So you are going to your village. And God said, let's go together. Then they told you there is a witch in your father's house. Where? Where is the witch? Where is the wizard? May we stop the Christianity that run from witches. May we go to their covens. May we go to where they live. May we go to where they are having meetings. May we challenge them. If you have the understanding of the greater one, who lives in you? Who lives in you? Who lives in you? How did the Bible describe it? Greater is he. So who lives in you? The greater one lives in me. Should the greater one be afraid of lesser ones? So who lied to you? Who lied to you? Who tell you that you should be careful of the devil? Who reduce your spiritual hunger to only biscuits and clothes and shoes? And who is going to marry you? Listen. Look at me in a moment. I didn't pray like people pray. If you are praying, keep praying. It's okay. Keep praying. But I didn't pray, oh God, give me who to marry. Give me wife. No. I just got busy for God. He is my father. He knows when it's time to get married, he will go look for a lady for me. Are you hearing me? I was just sold out. And I was preaching on one campus. That's how I met my wife. She didn't like what I was preaching. So she stood up And she was going out of the audience. And I got angry. I wanted to say, hey, come here. What do you mean? And God said, will you be angry with your wife? I say, how? 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 I said, no. I didn't come here for wife. I came here for you. God said, yes. I made her behave that way because you are too serious. You will never know when she passes by. Are you hearing me? Because my understanding is, if you get busy for God, God is morally under oath to settle who marries you. Are you hearing me? God will settle. So when you allow pressure of who to marry to capture you, hey, I am 35. Hey, I am this one. And nobody's coming up. Nobody wants to propose to me. Relax. Serve him. He is a rewarder of them who serve him. He will reward you with the best of men. He will reward you with the best of ladies. He will not reward you with a man that borrows shirt and tie and coat and is bending and lying to you. You don't need that. The greater one is here. Say that to your neighbor for me. The greater one is here. There's somebody here, you have a heart condition. As I'm talking now, your heart is burning. There's a hot sensation going on in your heart. And now everything is coming down gradually. God has just healed a heart condition. If that has happened to you, no. Don't clap, all of you. Don't clap. If it has happened to you, then clap your hand. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for that. Wait a minute. I just saw in my spirit now. Come here, sir. That guy in white. Come quickly. I just saw a flash in my spirit. And I'm not sure it's you, but I saw a flash in my spirit. And what I saw somebody well-dressed in sparkling white suit. Completely white suit, sparkling. And I saw a path open. And God said, I have opened the way unto you. Nations will hear your voice and will rejoice at your coming. You will be an answer to a generational lead. And all men shall seek you. Beginning from this day, you shall be remembered globally. Hear the word of the Lord. It shall be one nation to another nation. To another nation. To another nation. To another nation. In the name of Jesus. I don't know who God is talking about, but there are quite some of you here. Yes. Tarabo Shekataya. God is raising great men. Thank you, sir. Let me just give you two more for my time and then we'll close. Are you glad you came? So realize this: the greater one lives in you. That's how to exercise this weapon. Number two. This one is going to get you angry. I'm willing to make you angry. Intentionally submit yourself. Yes, anything good can happen. Anything. And in fact, you see, this night, Pastor Daniel, is a supernatural night. I'm telling you. Yes, that's what God said to my heart. So many strange things will happen supernaturally. I'm preaching tonight. He's also preaching tonight. So many supernatural things will happen. You won't look for it. You see, when you are trying to do things mechanically, then you miss God. When he comes, he comes. Everybody know he has come. Did you agree with that? Intentionally submit to the helper of your soul. How do you submit? How do I say you should submit? Intentionally. Intentionally. This bothers me. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. James 4 7. Intentionally submit yourself. If you do, the one you submit to will pay your bills. You didn't get me. Come here, Pastor Daniel. Let me use as an example. At least I know you very well. If you submit, where's your wife? Who married this man? Come quick, come quick, come quick. I want to show you something. Intentionally submit to the Lord, and the Lord will pay your bills. You sure this is the guy you married? Stay behind him. As long as this beautiful lady keeps submitting to Daniel, Daniel pays the bill. She wants to wear clothes, it's Daniel's wahala. She wants to eat, it's Daniel's wahala. She wants to go for vacation, it's Daniel's wahala. She wants to do... you understand? Anything she wants. They want to build their own house, is Daniel's headache. Everything. So when you submit to the Lord, he pays your bill. Did you hear me? Many years ago, we've been flying economy all our life. Many years ago. And every time we entered the aircraft, my wife said, you are taking me to economy again. See first class, yeah. See business class. My husband. So one day, when Italy, and I said to her, I said, do you know God just heard what you said? And he said, God heard. I said, I'm telling you. So we left. We boarded the aircraft. Somebody who knew we were around has bought us a new ticket, and we're on seat number 1 and 2. You know the meaning of that. If you fly regularly. And then we entered the aircraft. We went to economy as usual. We didn't check our seats. You know, there is a way people have been wired to keep doing what is wrong, to keep struggling with poverty. You are just wired. Even when your situation changed, you want to go back to the same old style. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Just wrongly wired. Repeat after me, I'll be familiar with honor. I will live a life of honor. My growth shall be very progressive. Can I hear your amen? So we went to the regular economy class, and then we got there. I said, my wife said, you didn't even check the seat. So I said, what number is this? He said, no, please follow me, sir. Follow me, sir. Took us to seat number 1, seat number 2. I said, my wife, didn't I tell you God heard you? Can I pray for somebody here? In the day you are close to shame, may the Lord arise for you. May the Lord defend you. Submit to God. Go back behind him. Implication. You will need to surrender your opinion. Just take care of anybody around you. You will need to make up your mind to surrender your opinion for his. Two captains can't drive one house. You want the favor of God? Submit to him and let him carry you. Does that make sense to you? You may not know the outcome. Just follow him. You may not know what it's going to look like. Just follow him. He will take care of the rest. Does that make sense? Submit therefore to God, and it will be easier for you to resist the devil. The devil struggles with us a lot today because our submission level is questionable. How do you talk for the God you didn't pray to? You are speaking for God, but you're a stranger between you and him. My prayer life changed the day I met a man who had been doing night vigil every day for 30 years. Not once a month, every day that breaks for 30 years. I said, no wonder he has this global ministry, this global influence, this global drive. So I got home, I couldn't eat. I sat down. I said, oh boy, so what happened to you now? With this small prayer, you want to go far? Since that year, I started daily night vigil. And I find out a switch came to my life and ministry. Outside this place. It's asking me a question I shouldn't answer publicly here. When we close, you're a good son, I will tell you. Since that year, I started daily night vigil. Not asking for bread, not asking for shoe, not asking for money, not asking for anything, just his presence. Just his presence. So when I do some meetings, we had one sometime, and I said, everyone who is a witch, come out here. All eyes were open. If you're practicing witch, come, quick. God wants to save you now. That's what I saw in my spirit. God wants to save you now, come. And he started coming out one by one. We counted 150 people who were practicing witches. As they were coming, I said, understand, I didn't say if the witch is oppressing you, or you are flying, or somebody is pressing you on your bed. No, you are the witch yourself. Start coming. They started coming. They said, yes, we know. Big meeting, live cameras, top government functionaries seated, kings, all of them seated. It's not a small people's meeting. Running live online. You see very responsible husband and wife sit down. The wife will say, darling, I'm coming. I'm going for that altar call. And they will come. And they will come. And come to the altar. 150 we counted. Until we stopped counting. Now listen to me. I didn't ask them to close their eyes. If you're a witch, quickly raise up your hand and put it down. No. All eyes were open. Cameras were rolling. Everything was running. And they were coming out. Do you think it was my eloquence of speech that brought them out? There is a spiritual force. That when he captures a man, you cannot go back. That's what I'm trying to push you into. A place of intimacy. A place of depth. That when you wave your hand, you can feel God. You can touch God. A place where he just keeps pouring into you. And he tells you, when you get up, this is what to say. This is not what to say. Are you hearing me? Stand up, let's close. Take me deeper in love with you. Where's the choir? Take me deeper, take me.
That's all we say today, Lord. Song again, but hold on. The Lord spoke to my heart that there are people here who for many years you have been captured by the spirit of fear. You are afraid of everything. You are afraid of yourself. If you are the one the Lord is describing, raise your hand where you are. I'm not asking you to come out here. Say, for many years you've been captured by the spirit of fear and you have lived in fear. You are so afraid of so many things, including yourself. You are afraid of yourself. Lift up your hand. I'm praying for you now. Father, I speak in your name. I rebuke the spirit of fear. For the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, every spirit of fear, I rebuke you now in the name of Jesus. This life rejects you. This spirit rejects you. All your influence over this life is broken now. It's broken now. It's broken now. In the name of Jesus, receive the spirit of boldness. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lion. Today you shall no longer be a coward. You will be bold in righteousness. You will be bold to confront the enemies. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you believe that? Now listen. Listen. Everyone who got a healing or a supernatural visitation while I was teaching, only such persons should clap their hands. Wow. 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 Isn't this God wonderful? Wow. We give you praise, Lord. Amen. Now, I'd like you to do something strange as I go to sit. I'd like you to shout the kind of hallelujah. I know you are fasting, but I'd like you to shout the kind of hallelujah you have never shouted since you came into this camp. Listen, 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 listen. Don't start yet. Listen, listen. Pull it down. I'm not asking you to do this just because there are traditions of shout hallelujah, say hallelujah. No. Something is going to happen to you. What I saw in my spirit is that there was a great shout of hallelujah and something dropped from somebody's body. So whatever is strange that has been planted in your body will drop now. Are you ready? Shout hallelujah!
access at all. Somebody shout access.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you have been instructed and inspired by the Spirit of God.
Don't forget to share and subscribe to get notifications for more messages and videos.
God bless you.